All right, lads. Welcome back to me podcast, Cheaper Than Therapy. Mick Thomas here. How are you? Thanks for liking, subscribing, sharing, and coming on back. I greatly appreciate it. Get it wherever your podcast is available. iTunes, Spotify, Podbean. I don't know why I keep saying that one. No one listens to Podbean. If you do listen to Podbean, I'm sorry. Didn't mean that. Keep listening. And YouTube, if you want to go see what ridiculous jacket I'm wearing today. Episode 203. Big shout out to everybody. Thank you for listening to last week's episode. I got loads of emails about it. A lot of people were happy. A lot of people weren't happy about it. As they said, I should not make fun or talk about the current administration, which, as we all know, that's what we're supposed to not do, right? And if you do, you're a bad person. But if you don't, you're considered good. So I don't have any opinions on what goes on over there. This is not a political episode, I promise you. I'm going to move on. Come see me live this Saturday night, South Carolina, in Charleston. I am at the Trolley Theater this Saturday, 15th. Two shows at the Trolley Theater. Also, I got shows in between. I'm all over the comic strip. Westside Comedy Club, other clubs around, but these are the ones. 26 is a big one. Me and Sean and Adam Burke are bringing the All Irish Comedy Festival to Maguire's Comedy Club on the 26th of April. Is it April we're going? No, May 26th. We're going to be at Maguire's on Long Island. We're bringing the All Irish Comedy Festival. May 27th, we'll be in East Durham at the Irish Festival. July 22nd, I will be solo at the Nile Theatre in Arizona. I'm going to Arizona. And then on August 11th and 12th, I am in the Irish Festival. Where else would you put me, right? More dates to come. So I spent a day today. Happy Easter, by the way. I don't know when you're listening to this, but I recorded this on Easter. You know, happy Easter for those who celebrate, or for those who just want to wear nice hats, have Easter egg hunts, and do not know that it was the day our Lord rose from the dead and came back. But like a lot of people, you know, Christmas comes, it's just a time for giving gifts and not understanding that it is the birthday of our Lord. But that's what we do, right? We just jump in and we hijack holidays for our benefit. But anyway, for those who really celebrate, happy Easter to you all. I was in the city today. I went in, took the family in. We went into the MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art. And we went in to see the Pinocchio thing. I should have looked the guy. I wanted to Google it, but now I feel if I go in, it'll wreck all my systems. The one that's on Netflix, right? By Del Toro. Is that his name? Am I saying it right? If I am not, forgive me. And basically what happens is when usually they make a movie or some sort of project and they have no room to store it, they'll just send it out, make millions of dollars and call it a museum. And they go, it's a museum. But what about all this leftover shit we have here? Put it in a box, send it to different cities. People come look at our garbage that we don't use anymore. We'll charge them to look at our rubbish and we'll call it a museum. Happened in Ireland, right? I don't know if you noticed, but the movie Saving Private Ryan was made. The opening scene was made in Wexford, my hometown. That whole beach you see, which is supposed to be Normandy, is Carraclough Beach. Or Caracalel, as Americans say when they try to read the signs. Caraclough Beach. And so what happens is, like, Spielberg was there. He made Saving Private Ryan on that beach. And then it cost about, this is what I heard, it cost like $250,000 to ship all the equipment back. And it was all stuff like hollowed out tanks, hollowed out, you know, like trucks, that, you know, fake guns from World War II. And Spielberg said, hang on a second, $250,000 to ship that back? What if I do this? What if I go to a farmer and spend 10 grand and buy a piece of land on it, dump my shit onto the land, hammer down a sign that says, Saving Private Ryan Museum, put a fence around it, done. And that's what he did. That's what he did. And he paid. And of course, everyone from miles and miles around will come to see the famous Saving Private Ryan Museum because it was just made right there over the hill. So he just basically charges people now to go look at your garbage, and he kept the bonus, I'm sure. He, like, obviously went back to the studio and they're like, how much does it cost to ship the stuff over? Yep, $250,000, right? And he only spent 10, pockets the rest of it. Hollywood are corrupt. So I go to the MoMA today to watch the because son, big fan of the thing. I haven't seen it all yet. I've seen parts of it. You know, it's like A Christmas Story. Like, I've seen the movie, but I haven't seen it. I haven't sat down from credits to credits. I walk in 10 minutes on. All right, and I'll catch you another bit later. Because it's one of those things that the boy is addicted to it. And he watches it on a loop. So we went to look at the leftover stuff. And very fascinating. Really, like, really, the detail of the artwork is phenomenal. I'm a big animation fan. And always have been. I went to school for animation. And they wanted to close that down in Ballyfermot in Dublin in Ireland. I'll do that on another episode, I suppose, about why. That's the problem with free education, by the way, for those Americans who think that it's better in other countries. What they do is they'll say, yeah, we'll pay for education, but you can only do a job, you can only do go to school for something that will have a job at the end of it. So if we have 1,000 people want to be engineers and there's only 200 engineer jobs, the government are like, we're not giving you all engineer degrees because we're just going to pay for you to walk around and not have a job. So animation came up, and then the company that makes a lot of the movies in Ireland shut down. So the government like, well, you're not paying for you to go to school anymore. So animation dream was ended. But beautiful piece of work, right? All the stuff was lovely and really, really artistic. So then I said, I was there. We saw the museum, and like all museums, it's very small. Like yesterday, I don't know where I was, because yesterday I flew down to Nashville to do a private gig, and I flew right back again, and I got back in yesterday. So I was gone for almost 24 hours. That's what Mick Thomas does. That's what Mick Thomas does. Get on a plane, straight to Nashville, do the gig, back on a plane, home again. But I had a few hours to kill, so I went to the Johnny Cash Museum. And again, it's probably just stuff his family, like, I don't, what am I supposed to keep all this shit? Hey, we got, what about this old radio here that nobody wants, it's broken? Sell it to the museum. They'll love it. They'll just think, we'll tell them it was Johnny's first radio that he listened to ever. And then the people will go around for miles and take pictures of it and go, I saw Johnny Cash's first radio. Well, it ain't really Johnny's radio. We just don't want to store it anymore. People will pay to look at crap. Tiny museum, right? And same with like the Pinocchio one. And so we figured, you know, we got through the Pinocchio museum part of it, the museum part very quickly. So let's walk around. Let's go and look at the rest of the art. Love art, me. I'm in the arts. And I'll talk about that in a second. Right? Let me go. Let me go look at the artwork of let me look at modern art. Haven't been to a modern art museum in a while. I love the Met. Last time I was at the Met when they had the workings of Caravaggio. Beautiful brush strokes. Loved it. Da Vinci stuff was there, right? Oh, I want to see a lot. But I love art, me. Can't get enough of art. From the High Renaissance. I love that, from the High Renaissance, or the Renaissance, as they call it here in America, but it's the Renaissance, as it's pronounced, if I want to be a condescending cunt. And so we walk around, and I cannot believe how... This is what I hate about the art scene. You're all pretentious fucking cunts, right? Now, that's vicious. I'm sorry, I should edit that. I don't edit my stuff, so it's there now. It's out into the abyss. Just the pretentious bullshit... That's there. I walked into one part of it and the first thing I saw, right, was just about 10 boards that made up the colours of the rainbow. Now, obviously, we know gay. Just gay, innit? That's for the gay. Put that on the wall. Gay. I mean, other people just saw a rainbow, but we all know what it is. And again, it was just boards that were painted and hung on the wall, and everyone was getting pictures taken with it, mainly gays. And, which it was, I'm not being a dick, there was just gay people kissing in front of it and that kind of stuff. Great, good for you. Good for you. Love all that. Love that. Love for all. So then I came around the corner, and what I saw was three doors, and I think I posted a picture on my Instagram. Three doors. Nothing painted on them. Nothing, no song lyrics on it, no poetry written on it, just three doors. Standing there all by themselves with a baseball bat leaning up against them. And there was a piece written next to it about what it meant. I didn't read it. Because you know what? You're not going to make me read it and go, oh, I see what you went for there. Like most pretentious fucking arty people were. They were standing there. Oh, three doors, right? And the artist was the fucking guy working for $5 an hour at the door factory. That was probably faulty doors, and they're going to throw it in the garbage. And some guy walks by, don't throw that out. Don't waste the doors. What's wrong? The hinges are on the wrong side? Yeah, we put the hole for the doorknob there, but also that's the same side as the hinges. That's not how a door works. So we threw those out. Don't throw them out. Give them to me. I'll sell them. It's art. And people are... And that's the real artist. The fucking idiot who fucked up the doors and threw them in the skip, threw them in the garbage, in the bin. That's the real artist getting paid $5 an hour. And then some pretentious piece of shit grabs the doors, brings them to the MoMA, MoMo, whatever the fuck it's called, and goes, art. And the people loving it. Loving it. Couldn't get enough of it. And then you walk around the corner and there's a green dot, like a projector projecting a green dot on the wall. And that was the art. A green dot, like a light, like a green... You know when you leave your flashlight on? You put the flashlight down, you're looking for something, and it's projecting a circle on the wall over there. That's what it was. And that's art. Gets better. Walk around the corner, a fucking t-shirt hanging up. A plain white t-shirt hanging up. And all these fucking pretentious... I'm using that word too much. I won't use it again. These wankers. Wankers. Who think they're better and think they're on a different level and their minds are more elevated than yours. You know, that drink wine and they smell the wine and they think they know it's better than other wines when you really don't, you wanker. And they're just looking at the t-shirt and they get it. They get the white t-shirt on a hanger hanging on a fucking wall. Then there's another part. There's built-in little theatres. And I walk into a theatre. I'm not bullshitting you. Go there, call me a fucking liar. What they had was a little tiny theater and there's 25 people in there watching a screen. Do you know what was on the screen? Do you know what was on the fucking screen? Someone's Ring camera pointing onto a street and the cars were driving by. There was a car. There's a woman carrying her groceries. Oh, a dog walking by with no leash. You don't see that anymore. And people were getting it. You know, like they're in, you're not in because you don't get it. And I'm vocal. I'm walking around with me son, and I'm saying this out loud, of course, and they're just looking at me like, oh, look at this riffraff. He just doesn't get it. He's not one of us. And I love art. I love real art, right? Some would say what I do is art as a stand-up comedian. I don't. I think we get, I said this in the last one, we get too much credit. And that's what brings me into what I really wanted to talk about. And this might be a little bit controversial in the comedy world, but I'm going to say it anyway. Most of you comedians need to go. There. Most of you comedians, we have too many comedians. Now, this is inspired, right? I've always wanted to say it. I've always wanted to talk about it. But I listened to me buddy's podcast, Paul Verzi, called The Verzi Effect. And he had great comedian on there, Dan Soder, one of my favorite comedians. And Dan was on there. And it came. This topic came up briefly. And Dan was like, yeah, fucking we're full to capacity. The fire marshal needs to come in and clean it. Because comedy used to be about... Like, because you... Listen, I go to clubs now, right? And the clubs I work, the clubs I've chosen to work in. Now, this sounds like I could have my pick of comedy clubs. It's not true. Some clubs probably might go, you're not for us, Mick, and that's fine. I don't work the cellar, right? Because they might go, I'm sorry, Mick, we're not, you're not what we're vibing right now. I don't need clubs like that, right? I go to my clubs where I work with real... comics who've had, since they were tiny children, wanted to be a comic, right? Who's your favorite comedian? Like you could list off your comedians, and it wasn't the new guy. It was fucking, you go back to the black and white, that you went, I went, fucking Billy Connolly, right? I would go to him. I would go to fucking Eddie Murphy's Delirious. I still think it's one of the greatest comedy hours of all times, right? I could go way back to the roots of comedy. I could tell you Richard Pryor is great. Right? George Carlin doesn't make me laugh, right? Because I got into George Carlin too late in life, but you could tell he was fucking great. You told all these new comics, who's your favourite comedian? There's this trans comic that I like that's coming out of Norway. You know what I mean? Right? Because now what we have is, we used to have these hungry people, right? Like who study the art form, who bomb, like me. I've been in it for 16 years and so now I'm getting traction, right? So now you've got this generation of comics that are up and they don't know what killing, like murdering is. Like fucking murdering. all they do now is you go online. Like, there's comics, right, like that are extremely successful. And I'm not going to mention their names because then it sounds bitter. Like, I've no jealousy for anybody in this business. I don't. I get frustrated when I see that. I hope this is what the evolution of the business isn't going to be. Does that make sense? I'm not jealous of anybody. I know a comic out there, and he's one of the biggest joke thieves ever. And he's one of the most successful comics. And he's a joke thief from the second he gets on stage, from the second he gets off. 80% of his act is fucking stolen. Right? Do I wish him bad that he's got a nice big house on Long Island? No, I don't. He's got kids. Good for his kids to get to grow up in a nice house, a nice environment, to get to go to a nice school. So I don't have that kind of hate. I fucking hate how he got to it, but I don't, no jealousy, right? I don't get jealous. So, but I'm like, so these guys get up and I see them, they're good looking guys, right? And they go on stage and all their videos are, like, they've never written, there's no material. And if there is material, it's weak. It's weak. Not to the point, listen, because you know why? Because you're new and you blew up so fast and you haven't constructed a real thought. And it's all, they go up there, they got their microphones, right? And they're all good looking guys, young guys. And I'll get to the girls in a second. And they'll go up and they'll say something, they'll go, and this is what goes viral, by the way. They'll go, bro, you were in a, and they'll lick their lips, right? You know the lick lippers, I've done those, or the lip lickers, I've done episodes on those cunts with the same haircuts. And they'll go up on stage. I don't need to mention names. You know who I'm talking about. If I'm describing the guy in your head, you're going to go, oh, I know that guy. I know who you're talking about. And there's two or three of them out there. And they're like multi-viral, selling out like theaters after theaters, massive venues, right? And again, good luck to them. But they'll go like, bro, you want a blue shirt? And they'll put the mic down. Like, they're so shocked. And they'll walk away from the stage. Like, oh, I can't believe he's wearing a blue shirt. Lick lips. Lick lips. And the fucking audience, and look at the comments. Look at the comments. I see him on Facebook. I see him on Big Thomas Comedy, they follow me on all the platforms. I'll see him on Instagram, and it's all, you're gorgeous. You're so cute. You're so fucking gorgeous. There's never, you're hilariously fucking funny. That never exists. You're not, the new generation are not aspiring to be fucking Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Dave Chappelle. Monster comics, right? I know so many comics, man, that are monsters that haven't made it yet. They're only starting to get traction now. Mike Vacchione just did Joe Rogan. Mike Vacchione's a fucking amazing comic. Keith Anthony, you'll never hear of him. You'll never hear of him. He's a fucking monster comic. Like, I mean, side-splitting fucking monster comic. You'll never hear him. Because you got this generation of spoiled people who want to be just, I want to be heard. I want to go on stage and be heard and be liked and be popular because these lick-lipping sons of bitches make it look so fucking easy. Now, you might say, well, isn't that a talent when you make it look easy? No, 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 no. I'm not talking about that. Is what they're doing is fucking easy, right? Because what they'll do is they'll talk to the crowd and the crowd will say something funny. So the crowd is now the comedian. So you're paying to watch this comic ask the crowd a question. Because that's all it is. That's all is their reels and their Facebook pages. It's just them doing crowd work. Not mine. I don't have crowd work on mine. Maybe one or two. Right? Maybe one or two. But you go to my page, it's me fucking, here's my actual content of material that I've written, that I've bombed with, that I've struggled, that's work, that didn't work. You can like it. You don't have to like it. But these new fucking cunts, man. Right? It's just, get out of the way. Because you're tarnishing, and then, like I said, one of these monster guys will go up on stage and just level the room, and they didn't know that that existed. And then you have females. All you have to do in this business, there's been female comics that, I could name three female comics that have been my favorite, in my top 10 favorite comedians of all times, in no particular order, Jessica Kirsten, Liz Mealy, and Carmen Lynch, right? Only now is Jessica getting some traction. Only now is Liz Mealy getting noticed. Carmen Lynch is only starting to become popular now. I've known these ladies for a year and they were monster killers. Now you have these hot girls going up and all they're doing is on stage. And I'm telling you, and you know who I'm talking about. And I haven't met a lot of these, so I'm not talking about them as people. I'm not talking about them as people. I'm talking about them as comedians. And you'll hear them and they'll go up and they'll say something like, you know what I mean? Hey, what do you do for a living? You're a banker? That's boring. And the crowd, you just watch, right? The crowd goes mild. And then they'll post that. They'll proudly post that. And all the comments are, you're so hot. You're so sexy. No one's like, this is not funny, lady. This is not funny. So my point is, look, a lot of you need to just realize that this is not for you, okay? I get you want attention. There's other ways to get attention. There's so many other ways to get attention. Rob a bank. Go rob a bank. You'll be on the news. right? You be the town slut, male or female. There's so many different ways to get attention. Pretend you're back in high school just giving hand jobs. Good, just do. There's better ways to get attention than getting up on stage and tarnishing this fucking art form that we call stand-up comedy. You're tarnishing it with your bullshit. Because now people don't come to comedy shows anymore. Because sometimes you will read the I will read the comments and I'll go down. And again, I don't know a lot of these people personally, so I'm not going to shit on them as individuals. But you will see the comments, and the comments are stuff like, is this what comedy is now? Oh, so the crowd or the stars? You know, hey man, how long have you been married? Oh, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. She said 20 years and he said 22 years. Oh! What? Is that comedy? Someone posted a thing up, and I think I have a joke up about that, actually, because I wanted to ask that question to get into it, but I made fun of the guy's voice, not the fact of what he said. I think someone put a post, it was very funny, and it said about George Carlin. I go, hey, remember that George Carlin deep, insightful bit about, hey, how long are you guys married? Very fucking funny. Very funny. But, you know, and I just think, you know, it's stopping people from going to comedy clubs. And if they do go to comedy clubs now, it's they're expecting to interact. They're expecting to talk. We don't want you to talk. The comics who take this fucking seriously, who write jokes, literally sit down and write jokes. I wrote a bunch this weekend that probably 90% of them will bomb. But you know what? That 10% I'll be quite happy with. We go out and we put our hearts on our sleeves. We go out and we take the beating of, fuck, that stings because it bombed. Right? Or the disappointment. Man, I thought that was going to be gold. You don't exist anymore. You new guys and girls coming in. It's just like, hey, what, you got a hat on? Lick my lips, walk away. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, bro. I'm going to sell out all these theaters. I'll be at fucking Madison Square Garden. Like, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And I think you as audience members, expect better. Expect better from your performers. That's all I'm saying. Like, do a deep dive, right? Here's what you do. You can walk into, I can list, like, you can go to the comic strip, right? You go to the comic strip in New York City. Why do I say the comic strip all the time? Because it literally is my favorite comedy club. It's literally my favorite comedy club to work. So you can go into the comedy club on an off night and not know anybody on that roster. Not know anybody. You'll see the board outside and you go, I don't know who any of these motherfuckers are, but I can tell you one thing. Why are they always sold out every Friday and Saturday night? Two shows, which equals four shows. 2 by 2 is 4. They're always sold out. Why? Because the audience are now trusting that club that you're only going to put on monsters on that show. Legit killers. You know what I mean? Not the fucking hip clubs down to town. Further downtown. I had a comedian friend who went on stage this weekend at a club in Washington. Right? And he was the only white straight guy on the show. And the MC went up and apologize to the audience. Sorry, we have a straight white guy on the show. And I said to my friend, I go, hey, mate, why didn't you fucking grab that cunt by the neck and slam him against the wall and go, don't use me for your fucking weak agenda and the fact that you can't write a fucking joke, so you're only here for clout of, sorry, he's a straight white guy. We've had enough of Netflix saying no more straight white guys. We've had enough of HBO, Showtime. All the platforms say, we got enough straight white guys. Yeah, you do. But you know what you're left with? A bunch of non-funny cunts. That's what you're left with. Because you did that. Don't believe me? Click on Netflix. There's a pocket full of fucking great specials on that platform. A pocket full. Make you burning bridges. Meh. Meh. There's a pocket full of monsters on that show. On Netflix. On the platform. Although, just click on them. Click on them. What do you get? What else is on there, right? What else is on there? Someone that clicks a fucking box. Someone that's got letters in their title. Someone that's a certain size and color. Certain weight and color. We want that, right? Expect more from your comedians. Just like you expect more from your musicians. If you saw a bad musician, you wouldn't go see them. You don't need that from comedy. Speaking of amazing comedy, again, come see me this weekend in Charlotte. Not Charlotte, you idiot. In Charleston, South Carolina. I am at the Old Trolley Theatre. 2 shows this Saturday. Tickets on sale now. Thanks for liking, listening, subscribing and sharing. And as always, wash your hands, you dirty fuckers. Good luck to you. Good luck to you.